This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Wide open today, as it should be on a Monday, where I thought there were several stories over the weekend. I thought what Greg Popovich said last night after the Suns and Spurs game was very appropriate. The shooting that happened yesterday at a church outside of San Antonio. He just said basically there's nothing to talk about in regards to basketball. Well put. Carlos Dansby, if we're talking about on the field, the star of the weekend, in my mind, was Carlos Dansby. If you think about this, guys, we are blessed by greatness. One of the cool things about being in Phoenix, like people ask me all the time, why'd you move from San Diego? Because San Diego's not a happening sports market. Yeah, the beaches are fine, but I'm too busy to go to the beach every single stinking day. Cool thing about being here is there's sports that are happening year-round, lots of them, lots of different angles. We're not just a baseball town or a football town or a basketball town. No, we're not just that. We're not just a pro sports town. We're a college town. We're a high school town. We're a pro sports town. We have NASCAR coming this weekend. We have a senior PGA event coming, the Schwab Cup. And we always have something happening here. But along the way, you have to take time to recognize those that are getting it done individually. It doesn't matter if it's a high school kid. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's on the college field. Carlos Dansby had his 20th pick of his career and has 40 sacks. There's only been five players in the history of the NFL, five, that have done 20 interceptions and 40 sacks. And so it may go across as something, it was the 49ers. Yeah, it was the 49ers, and they're not good. I'm sitting there yesterday afternoon. Thank God for the invention of the DVR. I don't know about you guys, but like in the middle of the second quarter just kind of hit me. Hey, it's, 78 degrees outside, and I'm watching Drew Stanton against C.J. Beathard. You can say I'm disrespecting them. No, they're just not. It's not Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers. No, it's not. And these are two teams that are not going to the Super Bowl. Sorry to burst your bubble, Cardinal fans. If you think that they're taking down the Eagles or the Rams, it's not happening. And we're rolling tape on this. So if I'm wrong in January, it'll be one of the biggest shocks ever. It was just a filler game yesterday afternoon. I would have much rather seen Seattle and Washington than having to watch C.J. Beathard be sent out there as a sacrificial lamb. No offense to Chris Myers and Daryl Johnson, but I think both of them were rooting somewhere in the backs of their voices, please, dear God, make a change at quarterback. So we can talk about something far more interesting than what's going on here in San Francisco with poor C.J. Beathard. C.J., to his credit, got sacked five times. Got hit 16 times yesterday. It was nothing more than a rag doll being thrown around on a Sunday afternoon in front of family and friends in San Francisco based on the shots that people were putting up on social media. Like, there was nobody really there to watch that game. So, yeah, I did go for a bike ride, and I didn't listen to the game. Instead, I came back, I DVR'd it, and I watched it later. It's the beauty of DVR. You don't have to shut it down. That game was a hard watch, but Carlos Dansby, that was something to see. Why the Cardinals cannot figure out a kicker, I don't know. All I know is I was told by the organization in press conferences and media things and through the offseason and into training camp that Phil Dawson was going to be great. That's why we brought Phil here. And for the second year in a row, it's guys that can't hit 39, 40-yard field goals. He's missed six of them this year. And of course, it's going to go to, well, it was a bad snap or it was a low snap. Quality of the NFL ain't what it used to be. I think that's what I'm getting at here. It's every week you tune in and you're like, okay, why am I watching fights happen in Tampa Bay? Why am I watching A.J. Green lose his mind against Jacksonville? And the Cardinals were in the middle of a scrum yesterday. There were three big brawls yesterday. Three of them. What's that all about? And it was a hit that took place, and Frosty Rucker got in the middle of it, and Carlos Hyde, and you guys saw the end of the game, I'm sure. Or maybe you're one of those, I'm still waiting for the numbers, that was watching Dallas and Kansas City on at the exact same time as the Cardinals game. I'd like to know the comparison of those numbers. I'll put it on my Twitter feed later today. You know, seeing Adrian Peterson carry the ball 37 times, to me, it was terrific to see an athlete, a warrior, go out there and give a warrior-like effort. Doesn't matter if it's the 49ers who hadn't won a game. Anytime a player carries the ball that many times. Now, the easy narrative on this is, if he doesn't play well against Seattle this coming Thursday night, well, he took a lot of hits, wasn't enough recovery time. And that's true. If you've watched this show, you know I'm always on the player's side. That Thursday night football is one thing that needs to go away unless you schedule it as your game coming off of a bye week. But to think that you're going to have really good, crisp, quality football this Thursday night with the Cardinals and Seahawks, and there's actually some stuff on the line. Believe it or not, the Cardinals are sitting there at 4-4. Some of the things on my mind brought to you by Sagicor Life and Sagicor Now. Sagicor, take care of the things that matter most. That's at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor being a big part of what we do here at sports360az.com. Check them out online, Sagicor Now. Appreciate Sagicor and their support. So the Cardinals are 4-4. A 4-4 that if you watch them play and you watch Drew Stanton yesterday afternoon, Drew Stanton was fine. I don't think Drew Stanton should be the quarterback for the next 5 years of the Cardinals. It's just me. I want to see the young quarterback come through and be developed and have somebody who's going to be here for the next 10 to 12 years. No slight towards Drew Stanton. I just don't believe that he is a quarterback that is going to be the guy that takes you to the next level on a consistent basis. Now, he did win yesterday. The opponent was not a good team. Did win. So you have to give him credit on that. They come off the bye week. They found a way to get a victory. If you're one of those that says, boy, Brad, you're really disrespecting. You're not jumping up and down all excited about what the Cardinals did yesterday. No, I'm really not. I'm not disrespecting. I'm being factual here. That was a bad team, and that game was in doubt until about halfway through the fourth quarter. Give Kyle Shanahan credit. I mean, what the 49ers are doing, they're going about it the right way. You look at what's gone on in the NFC West. Okay, look at the NFC West. The Rams last year, everybody laughed at them, and Jared Goff was a bust, and he was a missed pick. And now what are the Rams doing? The Rams are leading the league in scoring. Philadelphia and the Rams are right there at the top of the heap, and they have a lot of different players, a lot of different looks that they can throw at you. It doesn't matter if it's Todd Gurley, if it's Sammy Watkins. You can go right down the list of their skill talent, and they've got a really good defense. They've turned that thing in a hurry. Seattle comes here this week. Seattle, again, a team that defensively, really good. Okay, very, very good. Their offensive line, not so much. Their running game, not so much. But I'd say the Seahawks are ahead of the Cardinals. Where the 49ers are right now, you can laugh all day long about them being 0-9. They've got a general manager who knows what he's doing. I have a ton of respect for John Lynch. Know John personally. Seen John grow his football teeth and getting it done. And they have a coach that I think is going to be creative and innovative. They're a ways away. And then you have the Cardinals. Of the teams within the division, especially after watching them yesterday, they're just teetering with some nice young players, some players that you're just not sure what their future is going to be. Tyrann Mathieu would be one of those players, in my humble opinion. His contract next March, you look at that number and you say, is he really worth that dollar figure? People are going to say, oh, the Badger. You've got to put all that stuff to the side and look at business. They have yet, in my opinion, to go out and be convincing, but they have been drilled a couple of times by teams that are much better than them in Philadelphia and the Rams. Yesterday was a schedule filler game. That's all it was. So you put a bow on it, and what I take away was Carlos Dansby was a highlight. Kicking game, again, a question mark. And what Adrian Peterson did, I would admire it. Outside of that, they took care of business, and we'll see about Seattle this coming Thursday. College football was far more interesting, as usual, and we'll get into that as the show progresses. I've got some stuff on the Suns and Eric Bledsoe. Have you heard of what's going on now with Bledsoe? This is kind of goofy. It's kind of wacky. We'll get into that as the show progresses. And much, much more. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our show is here every day on AZ Central as well as Sports360AZ.com. We are self-funded. That means these sponsors that you're about to see, they write checks. And without their sponsorship, we don't do what we do. You want to be involved with us? Love to have you involved with us. We are self-funded completely and totally, and we've been doing it for 6 years. So make sure you take care of those that you're about to see, and we'll be back on the other side talking some college football next. So a crazy, wild, fun Saturday in college football. To recap on this Monday, Brad Sussmad with you, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We join you live every day at 10 a.m. If you're watching, hearing this throughout the day and the night, we do this live at 10 a.m., and then we put it out in a podcast. It's always on the website for 24 straight hours, and same over on AZ Central. So we appreciate the partnership with them. On the college front, I thought the U of A game was the best game of the day. Wildcats defense, not good on one hand. On the other hand, USC's offense, pretty strong. But Khalil Tate was bottled up early in that game against USC on Saturday night. It was a chance for Khalil Tate to show the national Heisman Trophy voters that he should be considered. And Khalil Tate, as the night went along, became a little bit easier for him to finish up with some good numbers. But it was not a Khalil Tate type of game that we'd seen because the competition is just that good. I get it. So the Wildcats end up falling, and their defense has been the downfall this year of U of A, from my humble opinion. Tate threw for two scores, ran for 161, did have a touchdown. Team was down 22. He brought them all the way back in L.A. Eric, do you see any of this game? I know you were at TCU.
I watched the first half of the game, and then I could not make it through. I think I watched like the first couple possessions, and then it was time to go to sleep. And it's unfortunate because I had been waiting so long to see Khalil Tate.
Right.
And I woke up the next day and I saw the final score, and I was like, okay, I missed pretty much every good thing that he did on Saturday. Because when I saw him, it was inaccurate passes. It was
him running for his life,
yeah. Not being able to get outside of the containment. USC did a really nice job of sort of like surrounding him in the pocket, because that's when you're talking about these dual threat quarterbacks, Brad, a lot of times they're going to hit it big either by getting to the edge or going straight up the middle. And I thought USC just sort of kind of kept him in that little box.
You did an amoeba on him.
It did.
Yeah, just kind of surrounded him. And look, USC is the best team in the South. It doesn't mean the South is great.
Nope.
I don't want to hear this nonsense about how USC played their best game of the year against Arizona State, and that's, or the referees were the reason why. No, USC's just good. Give them some credit, okay? The Trojans rolled up 642 yards on the night. So I don't think that they are the best USC team. Like, you saw Sam Darnold. Is Sam Darnold a great college quarterback?
He's getting back to the level that he played at as a freshman the last two games. He made a couple really nice throws against U of A.
I'd like him here in Arizona with the Cardinals.
Of course. We would like any promising young...
You don't want Drew Stanton?
No. I mean, he's fine in the present, but he's not the future.
Yeah.
Is Carson Palmer the future? No.
No. But don't you feel like the Cardinals are stale a little bit?
I don't know if stale is the right word. I just have a bigger picture view. They're 4-4. That's great. They're two games back in the NFC West. Outstanding. They've beaten no good teams, and every good team they've played, they haven't been competitive against. Like, that's – you are what you are in the NFL. They have two wins over the Niners, who have zero wins. They beat the Colts, who are pretty much horrible. And they beat the Bucs, who have two wins.
Yeah. Dirk's going to get fired, it sounds like.
Probably.
But you know, the thing on Sam Darnold is, when I say stale, we have not had the young quarterback come to Arizona since Matt Leinart.
Yep.
Right? And it was pretty evident Matt was just kind of checked out, I thought. Like, there's some Matt Leinart stories in Flagstaff where he just doesn't really care. And he's gone on. He's done very, very well for himself. I think Matt Leinart is terrific on television. But we have not had a young quarterback since Jake that has really captured, I think, the market. It's been a long time. I mean, Jake, Eric, we're talking like, what, 20 years ago now? So, you know, to see Darnold and play as well as he did, U of A, they've got Oregon State this week at home. They should win that game. And then they have ASU, and that's it. So you're looking at a situation where the Sun Devils have to go to UCLA. UCLA is not good. They've been beat up. I think their coach is going to get fired. ASU comes back here. Then they fly up to Oregon State. You can say all day long they should beat the Beavers. I felt that way a couple of years ago, the last time they played up there. I went up to that game. I froze my ass off. There's no other way to put it. Sorry for the language for some of you. And Norvell and Graham were having issues on the field. It was a bad deal up there. And I think that was the turning point of the program, which was starting its descent down, shifting easily over to ASU. Their win over Colorado was just that. It was a win. And if you watch that game from start to finish, as I did, and you don't look at it objectively, as I do, 5 of 7 three-point third down conversions, 5 of 7 third down conversions for Colorado in the first quarter and a half in that game. Colorado had so many chances to blow this game out, and it was nothing that Arizona State did. It was everything of Colorado stepping on themselves. Only way to put it. The positive side of this, if you're an ASU fan, is their running game was terrific. 378 yards. Eno Benjamin. So Eno Benjamin does his thing. You know, he's fun to watch. And I think that if you go through the way that DeMario Richard played, and it was handoff after handoff, Manny finds his way into the end zone. They just ran the ball right down the Buffalo's throats in the third and fourth quarter. I thought there was a teetering. Around the first quarter, second quarter, I was getting an awful lot of people sending me notes saying, if they lose this game, that's it for Graham. I'm done with Graham. And, of course, once they win the game, there's the 50-50 split of, yeah, this was not a great win, and, oh, it was a great win. Go Sun Devils. We're going to go to a bowl game. No, you still have to win one more game to become bowl eligible. A. B, you're going to go to the Sun Bowl again, or you're going to go to the Holiday Bowl again. Be excited. Knock yourself out with that. And it's, you know, it's the same old deal. It's 20-plus years. So 378 yards rushing, I thought, was the positive. The attendance wasn't good. Doesn't matter what the final number was. Empty seats. Don't lie. I loved how the Pac-12 Network shot it to, like, it was like cutting my head off here. We're not going to show punts going in the air of empty seats. It's how you script this stuff. But I got people sending me screenshots. These are big cigar donors that write checks. There's nobody here. There's no vibe. There's no this. There's no that. Now, the salute to service, those of you that are going to take shots at ASU with their uniforms for salute to service, don't get it. Eric, can you put back up a little bit of video? It doesn't matter what, or Jared, any type of video from the ASU game the other night. It doesn't matter. Just put up any one of those plays. Now look at those uniforms. Can you stop it there? Just freeze it. Can you just, yeah, maybe move it ahead to where it's, you know, just stop right. Yeah, this, so we can get a close up look at these. Yeah, right there is good. Eric, what do you make out of those?
Love them. I think they're really cool.
I don't get why.
I don't know why anyone would bag on those uniforms. If you've seen some of the combinations that Adidas has made ASU wear most recently, yeah, those are by far the best looking uniforms of the alternative look that ASU has worn. By far, not even close.
Okay, and I had some people that brought up that ASU's making money off of Pat Tillman and the military, and I just think that's being very jaded. Very, very jaded. Is it fair to wonder about that in some cases? Yeah, I don't think in this case that that's what was being done here. They're not playing a home game on Veterans Day, okay? And so it's their way to honor the military.
And also, Brad, if you walk around the new facilities at ASU, Pat Tillman is everywhere. Not sure. Just the statue. He's in the meeting rooms. He's all over Todd Graham's office. This isn't just like a thing they did just because.
But is it fair to wonder, are they going to an extreme on this? And I think it's a fair conversation to have. Anytime you start knocking down someone else saying, well, you shouldn't even bring that up. No, that's not how it works in our country. You can bring up a collective mind of ideas. When I get people that shut me down over there, It's like you're being closed-minded. You're not even – you're being so inclusive. Somebody could wonder out loud, are they making money off of Pat Tillman? It's fine to wonder that. It's not the case, in my opinion. So it's like the Cardinals, whenever they bring up things that happened with Pat Tillman, he was part of the Cardinals. Are there times, have there been moments in the past where I felt like, you know, Pat Tillman I knew would think this is all kind of goofy bleep and wouldn't want this to be happening, but it's happening. I've been at events that have nothing to do with ASU or the Cardinals where people said, you know, Pat Tillman would like this and like that. Let's take a moment of silence. And, hey, let's talk about funding this new project. Like, come on, really? You're going to go down that path. I had no problem with what they wore the other night. I really didn't. And, you know, the ground game, maybe they figured it out. Maybe Arizona State has it figured out. I know this. When I talked to people yesterday, this morning, there's still a big divide on whether Todd Graham is the right coach. And I find it interesting, too, that Todd Graham on camera, somebody said something to Todd Graham earlier this year. They just had to have. I've heard they did. I don't know that as fact. And I'm sure that if I were to ask him in his Monday press conference, it would be skirted away and I'd be told no, or the people around him would say, oh, there's nothing to that. Somebody said something from Michael Crow's office to Todd Graham. I've heard that. I don't know that as fact. But the Todd Graham that I see on the sidelines now at games, at least when they shoot him, and maybe it's just how it's being shot because so many games are on the Pac-12 network. At the PR side of ASU sat him down, said, don't show our coach dropping F-bombs. And somebody sat with Todd and said, don't embarrass us on television like you've done in the past. He is subdued. He just is. Anybody says different, you're either on the payroll and you're never going to see things objectively, or you're just not watching that closely. There's just a different deal around him this year. One other story here in this segment, and I've got some more college stuff to get to. I know we're going to run long here, but this story, you know what? I'm going to save this because this is going to take a little bit more time than I thought. This is a pretty complicated story. A quarterback in our state on a college football team getting ejected for targeting. A quarterback in our state. I'm going to have that on the other side, a little bit more. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, a little bit more college football. First of all, Eric was out at some games. He was at TCU, so we'll get to that in a second. But first, let's get over to NAU. So here's the thing with NAU. This is actually not just an NAU story. This is a national story. I've seen a lot of goofy stuff in sports. Did you see this over the weekend? Did you see what happened to Case Cookus, the quarterback at Northern Arizona University? Here's the video of it. Case Cookus is playing. This game's in Montana. Playing against Montana. So play is run. It's a little bit of a trick play. Case Cookus is out, comes back. Boom, right there. So, and it's Case Cookus laying out the player. So Case Cookus was called for targeting on that play. In fact, if you can get it back up, I know you got the spinning ball of death. If you go zip through it, you can actually see a couple of close-up replays. I have never seen a quarterback called for targeting, but he comes back on this play, and right there he hits the block. So they throw the flag, and Cookus is like, I'm just a quarterback. I'm just a runt. What are you guys talking about? And they didn't. They had to get together, as officials do, and talk through this.
Well, he's not a runt, Brad. He is 6'4", 220 pounds. He's a pretty big guy, but he is a quarterback.
But he's a quarterback runt. You'd say he's not an offensive lineman coming back on a block like that. Okay, I'll buy your argument. And so they make the announcement here that Case, the personal foul, and they throw him out of the game. And at this point, Jerome Sauer is like, you got to be kidding me. And the Montana players are like, yeah, see you later. And Jerome's, I got two more games or three more games, however it goes. Never seen something like this happen. And if you see it here and you watch right there.
It's definitely targeting. That is like the definition of targeting.
But was he targeting?
Of course he was.
Is it just a quarterback who doesn't know what he's doing?
You cannot lead with your helmet into another player's helmet. Yes, he was technically leading with his shoulder. But when a helmet hits a helmet, It's targeting.
Did the player for Montana target him?
No.
You're not buying that?
No.
So you're thinking he intentionally took his helmet?
I don't think he intentionally did it, but that's not – that's that he targeted that player. I don't think he intentionally did it, but it's still targeting.
It's still targeting. That's the rule. So quarterback gets tossed from the game for targeting.
And he's not going to be able to play in the first half of this week's game, I would think, if it's the same rules at that level as it is at
FCS.
at the FCS as it is at the big school level.
Yeah. So that's goofy, okay? We get into rules and stuff, and it was like yesterday when they had the ejection in the Cardinals game, and you're trying to figure out, okay, who gets thrown out of that one, and why was Hassan Reddick thrown out? What was said? So that happened over the weekend. You were at TCU, so I'm bringing this up because you've got TCU-Oklahoma this weekend, and tomorrow will be the latest pairings that come out. Ohio State.
Yes, got the latest attention media ratings,
run some commercials,
grab
run
that
some
ESPN
commercials.
Does.
Yes.
Yes, tomorrow night. I'm waiting with bated breath to see what they say.
Well, because Ohio State got absolutely embarrassed.
Right.
Right, and Penn State ends up falling.
Right.
You're in good space if you beat Oklahoma this week. If you beat Oklahoma, first of all, are you going to beat Oklahoma?
No.
All right. I love how you're just a straightforward fan about this deal.
They could. I don't think they will.
Are you going?
No.
Come on. You went this last weekend.
I don't go to Oklahoma. I don't go to road games.
What is that? Why? You'd get in fights and all that? Are you one of those guys?
No.
At games?
I just don't go.
You don't ever go to road games. You go to bowl games.
Yeah. It's different.
So they're not that good. You think Oklahoma rolls in that one?
I don't think they're going to roll. I don't think it's going to be 62-52 like we saw between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. But I think Baker Mayfield just has TCU's number. Like, they just don't know how to defend that guy.
And you've seen TCU play in person four times this year. And are they getting better and better?
Defensively, they are very good.
Yeah.
And they're playing in likely the most underrated Power 5 conference when you look at the Big 12, top to bottom. Throw out Baylor and throw out Kansas. And, I mean, Iowa State beats Oklahoma. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, they beat TCU. They go on the road to West Virginia, and they lose. Like, that is the story of the Big 12. You cannot just show up and expect to win if you're the favorite, because you will lose. And you can't say that about some of these other conferences.
Okay, so do you think the top to bottom Big 12 is better than Pac-12?
Without a doubt.
Like, because you've seen TCU so much, and you've seen ASU in person.
Mm-hmm.
ASU is Iowa State, right? Just flip the script?
No.
They're better?
No.
No?
No, Iowa State's much better than ASU.
Iowa State's much better than ASU.
Sure.
So
they've beaten top five teams.
So, no, but my question is, in just seeing caliber of play.
Right.
If you flip the script, you put Iowa State in the Pac-12 and you put ASU in the Big 12, where's ASU this year?
Well, I'll make this comparison, okay?
Yeah.
Texas Tech is one of the lower tier teams in the Big 12.
Right.
They beat ASU.
Right. Got it. And that game was somewhat competitive.
Very competitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very competitive. I think ASU is a better team than they were when they played Texas Tech.
Yes. Yes.
And
they figured some things out.
You can only go by college football, Brad, is such a week to week thing. Like, it just every week who would have thought that Iowa would have put up 55 points against Ohio State?
See, and I watched some of that game, and when Bosa got ejected, very next play, Iowa scored, and it was on.
Well, the first play of the game, JT Barrett throws a pick six. I mean, is that
JT Barrett's
not a bad
out of the Heisman?
Omen?
He's out of the Heisman.
Of course.
He's out of the Heisman. But it's like in the Pac-12, okay? So you're going to have Stanford and Washington. They're going to play each other this Friday night. And that game is going to sort some things out within the conference. So we're going to take a quick break here. And on the other side, we'll get into a little bit more college football and also the Suns. Eric Bledsoe, some goofy stuff there. A longer segment, that is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So I don't know if you guys saw what Vin Scully said over the weekend. And this is something that relates to Roger Goodell. Vin Scully, the Hall of Fame announcer of the Dodgers and known across our country as perhaps the greatest broadcaster of all time, and if you're not a fan of Vin Scully, then you're just not a fan of the Dodgers. I get it. If you're into broadcasting, he's the best. Vin Scully said, quote, "I will never watch another NFL game." He was addressing an audience on an evening with Vin Scully at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. He was asked about the anthem protests and everything else. He's 89 years of age. 67 years was a national broadcaster. He actually did the NFL. Quote, "I have only one personal thought, really, and I am so disappointed," he said when asked how the NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell are responding to protests. Quote, "I used to love during the fall and winter to watch the NFL on Sunday. And it's not that I'm some great patriot. I was in the Navy for a year, didn't go anywhere, didn't do anything. But I have overwhelming respect and admiration for anyone who puts on a uniform and goes to war. So the only thing I can do in my own little way is not to preach. I will never watch another NFL game." Roger Goodell, it feels like, is coming, his tenure, which started in 2006, is coming to an end. It just feels that way. This weekend, again, Ezekiel Elliott was on the field. Whether you like Ezekiel Elliott or not, Ezekiel Elliott is just one of those stories that keeps hanging around in the news cycle, just like Ray Rice, just like Deflategate, just like Spygate, just like anthem protests. And here's the thing. I don't see an owner that is coming forward right now saying he's our guy. I mean, Jerry Jones said last March at the owners' meetings here in Phoenix that maybe we should be looking at Goodell's salary and how much he's making. We have Peter with us tomorrow. I'm going to talk to Peter about this because it feels like the malaise or the heaviness, it's just heavy. Sports is supposed to be where you escape all the bad stuff that's going on. Instead, a lot of the stuff has crept into sports. I know it's not across the board. There's a reason why. You know, people can say the NFL ratings were flat, or I get people send me notes, say they were great this past weekend, and you're not bringing that up. They weren't great across the board, and they haven't been great across the board. We're going to sit here for the next 4 days and hear whether or not Thursday Night Football is something the players like. And most players don't like it. And when you see the concussion stories and the health of players stories that come out, am I being the bad guy for bringing it up over and over and over? No, I'm merely pointing out that once was a sterling, shiny brand from top to bottom is no longer that. It just isn't. I think if I were to, Eric, if I were to offer you tickets to a Cardinals, an NFL game, I shouldn't say Cardinals, an NFL game or a college game, depending on the caliber of the college game, you would probably go to a college game.
I probably would.
As would I. If I were to offer you tickets to go to an NFL Super Bowl versus a college football championship game,
I would rather go to the college football championship game.
Yeah. And is it because, and there was there a time where you were different?
No. There's never been a time that I've liked the NFL more than college. But in the past, I have gravitated more towards the NFL until last season. I thought last year the NFL really took a big step back, and this year
in what way?
In everything. In the product, in the how it's being portrayed, how they're advertising, concussion issues, a whole combination of things. And then this year, you watch these games, Brad, for the most part, there just aren't a lot of good NFL games. There just aren't. You know, like, look at the crawl from yesterday, and you'll just see a lot of just...
I got switched out of the Eagles-Denver.
Mm-hmm. Which was a complete blowout.
Over to the Ravens game.
Who did the Ravens play?
Exactly.
I mean, we watched the Cowboys-Chiefs, which was a decent game. Not a great... Did it live up to what I thought it was going to be? No. It was a good game.
Did you watch the Dolphins and Raiders?
A little bit, and it just you know.
I was out.
I was at the airport. It was on. I was watching it. But, Jacksonville blew out the Bengals. You know, the Colts beat the Texans. Why? Because there was no Deshaun Watson.
And no Andrew Luck.
And no Andrew Luck.
I got Jacoby Brissett against, you know. It's So
and that's
my
the,
point
so the,
on,
but
point
the injuries,
on Goodell,
the injuries aren't the NFL's fault. That there's nothing the NFL can do about that. And look at you can make a list of first team offense and defensive players that are gone for the year, and that's not the NFL's fault. But it does hurt
you
their
don't
image.
Think so? Is it overuse?
Could be.
I mean, they're sitting there doing mini camps and OTAs in May and in April, May and June, primarily early June.
And the worst, Brad,
and they have these 5 week, you know how I am about, I'm going to start taking August off because I can't stomach how bad, like yesterday felt like in the third quarter of that Cardinal game, it felt like I'm watching preseason football here. I'm watching CJ Beathard just take snaps and get crushed.
Deshaun Watson got hurt in practice.
That's
the worst part. And there have been other stars that have gotten hurt in practice, and that's got to be the most Teddy Bridgewater got hurt in practice. That's got to be the most demoralizing thing for a team.
Is it because they're not being used enough? Here's the thing that I've heard, okay? This is what I've heard from people within the league or that follow the league.
I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
Is, on one hand, we have all these preseason games and we have all this training camp, but we don't want guys to work too hard. So then they don't work too hard. So then they are not in shape in September and October. So then they get beat up in September and October, and they're done for the season. So then we're left with dog food by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you thought?
Well, I thought it was maybe they're not practicing and working hard enough during the season because of all the things they're doing in the off season with the mini camps, with the OTAs, with all of that. You know, are they not practicing? I know they want to save these players for the games, but are they not getting enough practice time during
Correct.
The fall?
Correct.
Because of, you know, how the NFL has the timeline spread out.
The calendar,
it's a calendar. It's a full calendar year now for the NFL.
Right. But in Goodell's case, like college football, we don't hear much about concussions, do we?
Not on the surface.
Not on the surface.
Don't kid yourself to think college football isn't a little dirty itself. It is.
No, look, paying players.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
No, I know.
Getting kids through school.
Getting kids through school that have no business being in school, saying that academics first. I'm not naive on that front. But what I am saying is you don't hear the concussion stuff being brought up with college players. You hear it a lot in high school. I hear it from a lot of parents because it's the first time they have been subjected to hearing about concussions.
I think too, Brad, that the coaches at the college level do a really good job of teaching their players about how to tackle. You watch
Case Cookus needs to learn how to block.
He doesn't hit people.
Like, I know. I'm making fun
of you him. See you watch. We watch a lot of college football, and you'll watch these games, and you might see less than one targeting a game, considering how many plays these teams run, especially now because everything is geared towards the pass in college football. You'd think you'd see a lot more targeting than you do.
I just wonder if we're seeing the end days of Roger Goodell, because the league clearly is taking a lot of hits. The league's taking more hits than I've ever seen it take. And I don't see anybody stepping up. I don't see the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. I don't see Jerry Jones or the Maras or the Rooneys or go right down the list. I don't see them saying, this is our guy and we are standing with him. Every week it's something else that's going on off the field. And it's really interesting to me. One of the things that's of interest is the Suns. I watched them against San Antonio last night. It was no contest. And the Spurs didn't have Kawhi Leonard, and I didn't see Manu Ginobili. And it was one of those games that Popovich is like, okay, it's early November. I don't need to be playing all my guys. And they crushed the Suns by 17. The Suns are home tonight to Eric Bledsoe. Scott Bordeaux yesterday had a note. It was a good note. He does a great job over there at AZ Central and being put on the Suns beat about how Eric Bledsoe was fined $10,000 for his I don't want to be here tweet. $10,000. And that Bledsoe is going to start working out at the Suns facility. Now, this is goofy to me on one hand, but on the other hand, I understand it. Like, okay, so here's a guy that doesn't want to be here. Here's a guy that has outwardly said all the right things, but it finally festered. I've not wanted Eric Bledsoe here for 2 years, and apologists, Bled. When you start hearing the nickname, you guys are too close. Get him out of here. And so the true colors showed up. And you're not going to get much for him if he just sits. You can't put him back out on the court. I think Robert Sarver is one of these guys that is going to say things like, and the players union is involved in this, don't kid yourself. And that's part has not come out as of yet. Robert Sarver, I think, is one of those guys like, you know what, screw you. You can sit and you can rot. And we're not going to play you ever again. And we don't have to trade you. If we don't feel like it, yeah, you'll get a check. So what? He really, to me, feels like that kind of guy. Can't say that outwardly. I don't know if Ryan McDonough is that strong in his stance. But are you hurting Bledsoe's value? Here's the question. Are you hurting Bledsoe's value by not playing him at all? Meaning, well, we're going to get a player who's out of shape, who hasn't been playing. You know, we got to figure, get him back into place. Is he working out on his own? Sure he is. Is his agent trying to negotiate to get him somewhere, anywhere outside of Phoenix? You know, the way the Suns are, to me, it feels like it's an Eastern Conference team, so they don't have to put up with him coming back here and having a big deal. You can't trade him to the Clippers or the Lakers. You simply can't trade him to the Warriors. You cannot trade him to Portland. You cannot trade him to any of these teams in the West that you're going to see. You can't trade him to Houston. You can't trade him to OKC. You can't trade him to San Antonio. You can't trade him to Dallas. So, you know, Detroit was the latest name that was mentioned for Eric Bledsoe. There comes a point where if he sits here and rots for another month, another 6 weeks, all the way up to the trade deadline, you know, the Suns aren't going anywhere anyways. I kind of respect their stance of, you know what, you can just go sit at home. It's weird to think, though, that he is going to come back. And what's he going to do? Is he going to be in the locker room with his teammates? Is he only going to be allowed to be at the facility when they're not there? The idea of him coming back and working out at the Suns facility just seems off to me as this whole thing has progressed. Like somebody, I don't know if it's on the commissioner's side, if it's someone on the players' union side, said, you know, you got to at least get him back here. Because I don't want to see him on the court ever again. And having him back around his teammates, I don't see where that does any good either. And I'm not saying you've got to trade him on a moment's notice. You're not going anywhere anyways. You know, go be in the DeAndre Ayton sweepstakes, as far as I'm concerned. Knock yourself out. The Suns play Brooklyn tonight. We have Monday Night Football. Actually, get to see Brett Hundley tonight for Green Bay. So there's some things we'll watch tonight. Tomorrow, Peter King will be with us, among others. We have plenty of content up on our website, by the way. Show is done for today. We do an hour live at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. But you can check out all of our content, high school, college, pro. We have a lot of high school up with the football playoffs right now around the state. Sports360AZ.com, sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen produces as always. I am Brad Sussmat. Have a great day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.